from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm all good. Andy Barker, Lisa, I'm feeling better than I did this time yesterday at 11 o'clock. But, yeah, we are up in the house, closer to the weekend. College football's almost here, week zero, whatever you want to call it.
49 hours away.
It's crazy that they will have a college football game between Georgia Tech and Florida State, which I think is going to be a good game. And we're both talking ourselves into picking Tech in this game for some reason. But I'm really, 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 really thinking about it. But, yeah, preseason game tomorrow for the Falcons. As you know, you get ready to pretty much know who the team is, and Braves tricked one off last night. Was Max Maxon?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, okay. Max was great last night.
Okay.
And he got into a little bit of trouble, but still was able to. Could have been worse,
yeah,
for sure.
Right.
And only gave up the two runs that he gave up. But no, I mean, if that's what Max Fried looks like, and then he only had 4 strikeouts last night. Normally, when he's really at his best, he's probably going to have 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Yeah.
But to go 7 innings and give up 2 earned runs, you give your team a chance to win the game. Aaron Nola's good.
Yeah, he is.
And
we mentioned this yesterday.
The Phillies' bullpen was good yesterday. And the other thing about the Phillies, man, this is something that the Braves do not do. They're really good at manufacturing runs.
Mm-hmm.
They'll turn a single and a fielder's choice into a sacrifice fly and a run. They'll turn a single and a double into a couple of runs, which they did earlier in the game. And then the way that they scored that final run to get them the 3-2 win was back-to-back sacrifice flies. Like, The Braves either hit home runs or they don't win games,
mm-hmm.
Which is a really tough way to live. It's the reality of it. It is what it is. That is who they are. I don't think that's going to change. It's also who they've been for a couple of years
and
now.
And it's gotten them hundreds plus wins.
Yeah, and it's worked out for them for the most part, and especially when they're hitting the long ball. But when they – and I know they got one last night, but when they don't get multiple and they don't score runs that way, they probably don't score runs. And that's what happened last night, man. They – They got beat by a very good team, and so game one was 3-1, game two was 3-2, and game three is tonight.
Yes.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see another really tough ball game because these are two really good teams.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think
one really good team. Pretty good team.
Yeah, and that's when you look at – and old Schwelly's on the mound. He's been pitching really, really well lately. Who they got today? Is it Ranger Suarez?
No.
Okay,
thank you. It is not.
Okay, thank God. Because, I mean – but, I mean, you're going to figure out this. I mean, you're trying to get contributions from any way you can. We understand where this roster is. Talking about the Falcons. I mean, talking about the Braves. We know where their roster is in as far as the hitting depth and all those things because of who's not here. But if you get and I thought they had it, you know, when Bryce bobbed the ball for the final out, but was able to recover. I think if there was a faster guy, maybe if Michael was running the bases, I think Mike maybe would have gotten there. But, yeah, I mean, just as we keep saying about this, you got to stay even keel with this squad because it's going to be good times, bad times, really bad times. We just need to see more good times, you know.
Win the game today, you win the series.
And that's the most important
thing. Win the game today, you win the series. Like you said, Schwellenbach on the mound for the Braves. Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies. And, yeah, again, then you come out of this three-game series one game closer to them than you were when the series started. Now, one thing that happened last night that sort of – I don't know. I thought it was over. I thought Harper ended it in October last year with the Attaboy Harper stuff.
He did.
I guess Orlando Arce has been simmering on it for almost a year now.
Yeah.
Could have done something about it in October last year. I'm not saying he had to take a swing at the guy when he came around second base. I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Right.
Could have hit a home run off of him in the playoffs last year and stared him down then if you really wanted to get some get back. But I guess he waited until August of 2024. Right. To do that, hits a home run last night and decides to stare down Bryce Harper as he's rounding first base. You know,
that's like, do
what you want, but it feels a little late.
That's like a sucker punch in the back of the head.
It kind of
after somebody that dropped you or something, and you wait for like 2 weeks,
right? Because they beat you in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yes.
And now you waited all this time because he hadn't really done anything yet. He hadn't had a chance to get back at him yet.
Right.
So you finally hit a home run all these months later, and then you stare at him now.
It just looked – that's what because I saw it this morning. I didn't really pay attention when I saw it when it happened last night, but I saw it this morning, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to stare at him now? How about you know, when he was walking around that corner and you should have gave him the middle finger or something?
Yeah, how about when he was exiting your team from the playoffs last October and staring you in the eye while doing it?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you this. I bet Bryce Harper hits a home run tonight.
I mean, it's only, you know.
And I bet you he's not going to – RC is not going to do anything about it tonight either.
Yeah, man. Whatever.
Attaboy Harper.
Yeah, the Attaboy and all that other stuff. But, yeah, when I saw it this morning, I was like, oh, okay. That you feel better?
Yeah, like you feel good about that?
Do you think that
now the playoff loss last year is avenged?
Yeah.
By the way, lost last night too.
Yeah.
Lost last night too, even though you did stare him down after hitting that home run, still lost the ball game. So anyway, chance to win the series tonight. It's a national TV game. Earlier start time.
All right, baby.
7:08.
12 minutes, baby.
7:08, get in your seats, okay? 12 minutes earlier than their normal first pitch tonight on Fox between the Braves and the Phillies. Hopefully they can win. Hopefully they can get the series. I'll tell you who's having a great morning. Not just a good morning, but a great morning. Is AJ Terrell.
Yeah, man.
What I guess he may have known before he went to bed last night, but the news came out early this morning that the Falcons and AJ Terrell have agreed to a 4-year, $81 million contract. $65.8 million of it is guaranteed. Second highest paid corner per year. That's the most guaranteed money ever for a corner on a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, man. I think this is it's been a talking conversation,
definitely.
But it didn't seem like it's one of those things where it was a rush. But you know, that's the best kind of negotiations when these things happen. Good for AJ. You've talked about the guarantees and everything, and when you hear the number, you know, it's kind of because a lot of it's agent relaying the kind of contract it is. It could be less, it could be more, whatever. But, I mean, come out averaging, you know, being the second highest per average corner for AJ is outstanding for him. He is a cornerstone in this organization. They believe that. That's why they got the contract that he did. But, I mean, he's a good young player, leadership guy, character, all those different things that you want to invest this money in. Now he has to continue to, you know, to grow as a player. I know the biggest thing is that he doesn't force turnovers, meaning he doesn't get any interceptions or anything like that. But I mean, he's tasked with guarding the team's number one receiver a lot of times, and he does for the most part a pretty good job. But young, corner with his abilities, very rarely do you let them leave.
Yeah, you don't let them leave.
Yeah, you don't let them leave. Especially when they're homegrown and everything like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't let guys like that out of the building.
Good for him.
He probably has a little bit more leverage in the negotiation because of that, right? Like, you don't want to let that guy go. Good corners don't grow on trees, as every team in the NFL finds out. And it is obviously more complicated than just the stats, right?
Yes.
The stats aren't incredible, like you said. Like, he hasn't had an interception since, as I'm looking at it, 2021.
Yeah.
He had an interception in 2 years.
Yes.
Now, again, there's more to it than that. A lot of times they're not throwing to his side of the field, and why would they? With the rotating door that the Falcons have had at corner on the other side, why would you not target the other guys? Or go over the middle of the field where the safety play hasn't been very good. I think A.J. Terrell has sort of been a victim of being in defenses where there just aren't very many other good players,
right?
Really, for the last couple of years. Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't know how much that was going to play into the negotiation. We talked earlier in the offseason because there had been some other corners that had gotten contracts that sort of felt maybe more appropriate for where A.J. Terrell was. Obviously, he didn't feel that way. Otherwise, it would have been done earlier, and clearly they didn't either.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this contract wouldn't have happened. Yeah. So, well negotiated by him and his agent. But this is what the Falcons have to do.
His name's David. I always forget his agent.
I can't pronounce his last name.
We know who you're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great deal. It's a really good deal for
AJ. Looks like it says, get the moolah. That's what his agent's last name says. David, get the moolah. I don't think that's how you say it, but that's what it looks like when you read it.
Yeah, man. And the structure, the 4 years, and he said the largest guaranteed on a four-year deal for a corner.
Yeah.
Which is
kind of like, you know, that's agent speak.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's how you put it as an agent.
Yeah.
I can't, oh my God, I wish I had the word. Because it was in a quotation, the kind of, whatever, because a lot of that can go with, if you reach this incentive.
It's not the biggest contract ever for a corner.
No.
He's not the highest paid corner in the league right now.
No.
But agents always want it to sound like
to sound
it is.
Like that. Yeah.
So, yeah, the highest guaranteed money ever for a four-year contract for a corner. Like, when you have to start giving four and five different disclaimers, then you're maybe doing a little bit extra. But it's a huge contract.
It's a huge contract.
It's awesome.
It's good for him.
He's here long-term now. And, you know, when you apply this to the rest of the stuff that the Falcons have done in this offseason, not even this offseason, in the last couple of weeks, it secures a defense that looks like on paper could be a very good defense this year, and kind of gets back to that Terry Fontenot conversation we've been having for years now of, it feels like he's doing a really good job. It still has to show up in the win-loss column. Terry Fontenot's been the general manager for 3 seasons. They've been 7-10 in all 3 of those seasons.
Yes.
Not entirely his doing. Understand where they came from when he got here and all that kind of stuff. Feels very much like that's going to change this season. But until it does, that's still true. That's still what it is. He's still a general manager who's under 500 since he's been in charge of the team. But all the stuff that's happened, and especially all the stuff that's happened over the last couple of weeks, makes it feel very much like that's going to change this season.
Rusty just sent me this. The Falcons added a league-high $144 million of guarantees to their roster via free agency, $3.4 guaranteed via the draft, $66 million guaranteed to A.J. Terrell, and practically $7.5 million practically guaranteed for recently acquired Matt Judon. And their hot dog still costs $2.
Yeah.
So there's not been an influx in anything.
I saw the analogy. They're basically Costco.
Yeah.
They like to reward their workers. They're a good company to work for.
Right.
And the hot dog prices are low.
They'll never go up on
That's
that.
That's the most amazing fact. There's two companies that somehow have it figured out. It's Costco and Arizona Iced Tea.
Yeah, man.
It's $1.50 still to this day.
That's crazy.
For a big ass hot dog and a soda.
Yeah.
To this day, it's been like that for 30 years, and you can still get a tall boy of Arizona iced tea for 99 cents. Everything else is inflating, but not those companies.
And this also gives you, I don't know how much, but it gives you some more money too, just in case. And maybe that's something
interesting
that you, you know, if you want to go out and get you a veteran corner, or even just hang on and wait till the regular season, just in case somebody goes down or something like that, you got to make go get a veteran player. Or
a little rainy
like
day fund.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Either you're going to hold on to it, or there's still some really good serviceable, you know, cornerbacks out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add one
because you're gonna know where it's gonna come in at, because you've seen all the other veteran corners. It's gonna come in around 7-8 mil.
Whenever you draft a guy in the first round, you really want to pay him market value the first opportunity that you get. That means it was a good draft pick. So congratulations to A.J. Terrell and the Falcons on this one. $65.8 million guaranteed.
Good for him, brother.
Where'd he go to high school?
He went to Westlake.
They're going to get a new practice field. They're getting some new weights or something. Something's happening. New uniforms. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Thanks for being with us on a Trillville Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
For what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
That's Max Fried. So I told him when he finished the seventh, I was like, that was Max Fried right there. Saw it from the first inning. The command was better, velocity, quality of his pitches. It was... Max was back. That was really encouraging.
Max was back. It was. It was definitely good to see him pitching like that. I think the start before that was pretty solid as well, but this one certainly the best start that Max Fried has had since coming off the IL. Unfortunately, Braves offense just didn't have much going last night. Right. Aaron Nola's part of it. The bullpen did well. They had opportunities. They were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position.
That's been the big one, and that's something that goes back to what you said in the first segment about manufacturing runs. They leave a lot of damn people on base.
They do not manufacture.
They leave a lot of damn people on base.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but that goes to the mentality of home run. But that thought process behind them being a home run or bust team has gotten you to where you wanted to be. But when you probably needed to be able to manufacture runs. Mainly against the Phillies.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
You get into tough ball games against good pitchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you might need to scrape out a run or two late like the Phillies did last night, and you can't do it. Again, it's no big deal to be a home run or bust team when you're hitting 300 home runs in a year like they did last year. Now, the Braves are still a good home run team this year. I think they're top six in baseball, which is probably surprising to some people given how the offense has struggled. But they still hit the long ball at a pretty decent rate. They just don't really do anything else. And you had opportunity again. Urshela came up last night with runners in scoring position. He grounds into a double play. Whit Merrifield comes up with runners in scoring position a couple of different times, and he goes 0-for-2. Like, you know, you're not going to win a lot of games if you don't get any hits in those situations, which they didn't. And they didn't win last night. So, you know, the series is now on the line today.
Yeah,
they win tonight with Schwellenbach on the mound. They win the series, and that's good because that's what it is at this point of the season. Just win as many series as you can before the end of the year, and that will probably keep you in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, because the thing, the Mets are, they're still right there. They're behind
a couple games.
Game and a half or something, whatever they are, but they're right there. We keep saying, if you can't get back up to one, at least you got to fight, claw, scratch, all that to stay in that three position. And you got an opportunity, 7:08 first pitch on Big Fox. And hopefully the field looks better. It looked trashy last night. Cause I kept looking at it like, what the hell's going on with this field?
A couple dead spots out there.
That
happens.
Yeah, it looks really raggedy. But, yeah, come on, old Schwelly, get it done today, and hopefully you can find some way to get some hits. Because you remember when Schwelly first started, he was pitching well.
He gets,
but he got no run support. And lately, he's been getting a little bit more run support. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know who this cat is going for the
Christopher Sanchez. Yeah, pretty good. 9-8, 3.5 ERA. Okay. Pretty good pitcher.
Okay, so, I mean, it's going to be another opportunity where you might have this 3-2 type ball game where instead of them manufacturing, you got to find a way to get the run. And I know we were joking earlier about because the whole RCS stare down to Bryce, and that just automatically, you know, it seems like Bryce is going to hit one over the chop house tonight.
Probably.
Let's try to keep it in the park. Let's try to keep it in the park.
Yeah. Or just let him do one, you know, solo.
Oh. Wait, just to get it all?
I mean, it's just inevitable. Like, he's going to get one.
Yeah.
He has been bad in the first two games of the series. He struck out four times in two games, hasn't had a hit yet, so that makes him even more due. Arcia last night just, what are you doing, man?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know, man.
If you were that fired up about it, do something about it in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
Don't let Bryce Harper come in here and punk you like he did last year
now,
and take your soul and then wait a whole year.
A whole year to stare back at
him. Yeah, man. Come on.
Like,
I don't know.
But then I saw.
I don't know how I feel about Orlando Arcia.
But I saw Arcia got on base.
Kind of bugs
me. He got on late in the game. And so I'm looking at him go down to first base, and I saw Bryce and him. I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be some static."
Yeah.
And then I saw Bryce tap the runner on the leg. I was like, "Oh, I guess Bryce is made up." I was like, "Oh, never mind." Never mind. That's a pinch.
And then Arcia was mad that he got pinch ran for, and he was in the dugout all fired up. So, again, I think you waited a little long to get fired up.
Yeah.
Seemed
man.
Like the fire should have been October last year, but Bryce Harper was exiting you from the playoffs
and making you.
I always felt weird about RC. I'll be honest with you. I like him.
Right.
I like him. Good,
right.
Good player. Obviously, outperformed the contract, all that kind of stuff. He tucks his ears into his hat.
Does he? I never paid that much attention.
He's an ear tucker.
Really?
And I don't know what that is.
That's always been a weird look to me.
Because when you're a major leaguer, they'll make you a hat that fits your head the right way.
Yeah.
Like they'll custom to your dome.
Right.
You don't have to get one that's big and tucks down like that.
Yeah. Now I got to go look now because I never paid attention to it.
Yeah, no,
he has both ears too.
Both ears,
both ears. Yeah,
that's
both
about
ears.
As bad as the headband over the ears.
Yeah. Oh, the Derek Fisher headband over the ears.
How bad is that right there?
Like a weird like ski cap.
That's pretty.
It's not good.
That's pretty weird.
I know. I realize
that.
I waited a long time to bring it up.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this for a year and a half.
Didn't Jadakiss do that?
Jadakiss used to tuck his ears?
I don't know. It seems like Jadakiss should wear the big fitted. I don't know if he might got like.
Well, I know a lot of those guys used to wear huge fits
that
were like Fabulous, I think, used to tuck his ears in there a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is that a thing? I'm trying to see if I can put my.
Well, your hat's too high up.
Yeah. That's kind of.
Now, you wear your hat the right way.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah,
that's very, very weird.
I'm with you.
But yeah. All right. I think
Sean Figgins was an ear-tucker back in the day.
If Bryce does hit it over the chop house, is he going to stare down him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what RC is going to do?
Nothing. Nothing.
You're not going to do anything.
Throw the glove at him or something.
Do something.
Yeah.
Fight him. Fight him. Now, again, the worst thing that could happen is, like, you turn into Robin Ventura. Turn into Tim Williams or something like that.
No, yeah.
Tim Anderson.
Yeah.
No offense to Orlando, but I got Bryce in that one.
Oh, yeah. Don't get that's the one thing you don't want to pick a fight. Now, don't pay attention to me and him, me and Andy now.
We're not going to help you.
Yeah, and get your behind dropped. Get some dirt on the back of your pants.
See, now he's in a situation, though, where you can't really afford to go without another player for two games if he were to get suspended or something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They don't really have any guys.
Maybe wait till Ozzie comes back.
Then go after
Bryce. Go after Bryce in Philadelphia. Ozzie should be back by then.
Yeah, I can't think about it that way, man. I got to get my manhood back. So if I got to sit at home with wifey for a couple days, and I don't know who the hell would play shortstop if he had to go over there.
Braves just got to find a way to score two runs tonight because Bryce is going to account for at least one.
At least.
Guarantee it. Guarantee a Bryce Harper home run tonight. 100%. Not rooting for it.
Right.
Not rooting for it. Just know it's going to happen. All right. Here's Kirk Cousins talking about being ready for week one.
Yeah. When I injured it, they told me it was a 9-month deal, which would have taken me to August 1st. So even from the moment I went into surgery, I was expecting August 1st to kind of be the clear date. And with no setback, you know, I always thought that was going to continue to be the case. And it really was. And they told me that really it takes until about 12 months to, I guess, fully be done. But after 9 months, you're pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the hardest injuries to come back in sports. It meaning because of you lose something, and these days it takes another year for you to get fully back to what you probably was before that injury. And so, I mean, I was so surprised. That's why when back in spring when he was doing, you know, OTAs and going through the full OTA, I was like, wow, that's pretty damn good. Now, they're not playing out there no football, and I'm sure they didn't do a lot of movements in the pockets with him and everything like that. And you just seen – and we talk about it. Last time we were up there, he threw an interception and had a burst or whatever you want to call it.
We didn't catch him.
We didn't catch him.
Which is good.
Which is really good.
Because if you're a defensive back in the NFL and Kirk Cousins tracks you down,
yeah, that's not good for the DB.
You might want to hang him up.
That's not good for the DB. But, yeah, he's going to be ready to roll in a couple weeks here as they get ready for the regular season. And that's what it's just – it's all about the trust part of it. But he's moving around and everything like that, and he's not the most mobile guy in the world. And so he's a classic pocket passer who is all about timing and rhythm and situations like that. But, yeah, I mean, the damn technology nowadays for these damn Achilles is
no doubt
different now.
No doubt. It's just such a faster process than it used to be.
Yeah, because Aaron came back. Aaron was like –
he was trying to play last year. Now, didn't he have some sort of, like, even more modern procedure?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't – don't go too fast. You know what I mean?
Right.
I understand trying to advance medicine and, you know, maybe you're going to do, like, a trial and you're going to be on the cutting edge of all of it, but – I'm also going to let somebody else do it first.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Try it out on somebody whose Achilles isn't worth $200 million before you try it out on me.
I know he had some kind of whatever special surgery and thing. But yeah, Kirk.
You even saw a shaman or something like that.
Yeah, but Kirk's going to be ready. He should be ready. That's the bottom line. He's been doing everything. He was obviously, that was a question when they went down to Miami, because you got another team. How are you going to react to people on his feet? Fine.
There hasn't been any concern whatsoever about Kirk Cousins' health.
No.
That's really all you could ask for throughout training camp, because you knew you weren't going to see him playing in any games, which also meant we weren't going to really be able to give much of an analysis on what he looked like. Obviously, we're out there watching him practice, but it's not quite the same thing. So you're not really going to get to see him play actual football until that first game against Pittsburgh. But every single mile marker leading up to this, and I know we're having some tongue-in-cheek fun with it, but, like, honestly, him taking off and rage sprinting 70 yards after a DB
is good.
Is something. Yes. Like, him just going and doing that and being able to not think twice about it, because that's really what it is, or at least half of it.
It's confident.
It's the physical part of it, but then also the mental part of it, to trust your foot and plant and run and all that kind of stuff. So, sounds like everything is fine as far as that goes. Now, the Falcons have their final preseason game
tomorrow.
Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a home game. He's not going to play.
No.
Penix isn't going to play.
No.
I don't know who is going to play. Well, Heinicke's going to play. Yeah. And Taylor Heinicke will play.
And what's the other kid's
John Paddock.
Yeah, him.
He'll play.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Yeah.
And that's about it. We said 39 people didn't play in the Baltimore
36.
Game?
36.
36 didn't play in the Baltimore game. It'll be somewhere around that area. You know, and
who's going to play for Jacksonville?
I don't even know their roster. So we know that. Like, their dudes ain't playing either.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure about that. But, you know, it will have Joe Patrick on. Because, I mean, who is going to play tomorrow who can make the team in tomorrow?
Right. That's the real question. Is there anybody who's going to be on the field tomorrow
that is like
a bubble guy?
Yes.
And there probably are some special teamers.
No, there's a bunch of bubble guys in. But who's the guy that you look at that can – like Blair, I think Blair's already.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think he's.
Yeah, I think Chris Blair.
Yeah, I think Chris Blair's on the football team already.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, who is another guy that, you know, that's been not much talked about? And that's usually those guys we don't know about, but like you said, play special teams, plays the hell out of it. And who is in danger maybe of a guy? I'm not saying Richie Grant's in danger or nothing like that, but a guy we probably know that's been around a couple more years.
You know, I bet if Helms hadn't gotten hurt and they did the Simmons trade, we might be talking about Richie Grant a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe. But obviously now with Helms being injured, you're not going to do that. Mac Jones is their backup quarterback in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mac's going to play.
Forgot Mac Jones was down there backing up Trevor.
Hometown kid. Hometown Jacksonville kid. But no, yeah, he's going to play.
Okay.
I think he's going to play.
C.J. Beathard is their third-string quarterback? Yeah, yeah.
Damn, C.J. been around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was asking for the Falcons to sign C.J. Beathard a couple years ago when they signed Mariota.
Yeah. To do what?
Play quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
And I didn't say nothing to you about that?
I don't know if I had said it into the microphone. I might have said it on Twitter. Yeah,
and I didn't hit you with the why.
Or maybe it was last year instead of Ritter.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I was like, well,
yeah, I'm just kind of looking. They got Tank Bigsby on their team. Jaguars, too. No, he's not going to play.
He's not playing.
No, he's not going to play.
He's Etienne's backup.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and so, yeah, those guys are going to play a lot. You know, it's unfortunate.
Foye Oluokun, he's still down there. Yeah, he won't play.
Didn't he lead the league in tackles again?
A couple times. Yeah, yeah, he's led the league in tackles a couple times.
The kid from the dude from Utah we both like. Linebacker.
Yeah, Devin Lloyd.
Devin Lloyd. Yeah.
He's down there.
Devin Lloyd.
Hey, they got a guy on their team named Caleb Johnson.
Like our Caleb Johnson?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's the same guy, but he'll probably play because he's Devin Lloyd's backup. So Caleb Johnson will play tomorrow.
Okay. Right. I mean, go out, have fun. You know, and you know, you hate to be like the ice cold bucket guy, but this might be the last time I ever played.
It very well could be the last time a lot of these guys.
Last time you.
Hey, one other important note here in what's trending: Tina Charles.
Way to go, Tina!
Last night became the second all time leading scorer in WNBA history. She's only behind the Diana Taurasi.
Crazy.
Diana Taurasi was on the court last night on the other team.
Yes.
So there you go, 1 and 2 in terms of all time WNBA scoring last night, both on the court, and the Dream won. 72-63, so they're undefeated since coming back from the Olympics.
Yeah, man.
They got Caitlin Clark in town on Monday. We'll be there. It'll be a lot of fun. Shout out to everybody who won those tickets and going to be a part of the suite on Monday night to watch
sounds like
Dream.
My girl, she getting more and more, like...
She's excited for the ice cream.
Okay. Even better.
And I told her I'd buy her a shirt of her choosing.
Uh-oh.
Whether it's an Atlanta Dream shirt or if it's an Indiana Fever shirt, it's up to her.
They don't sell Indiana. Do they sell?
They will definitely be selling Caitlin
Clark's
shirt. You
her stuff here?
100%.
Wow.
They'd be crazy not to be selling Caitlin Clark's stuff. Wait, you don't want money?
I mean, who don't like bread, but no.
Yes. 150% they'll be selling Caitlin Clark jerseys on Monday night. Yes. And I might buy one. I might buy one.
No.
For a four-year-old.
Yeah.
For a four-year-old. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little college football. Kirby met with the media earlier this week talking about getting ready for Clemson. We'll tell you let you hear what he had to say, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from getting back into an NFL no huddle. AJ Terrell gets a big time contract from the Falcons earlier this morning. Some more quarterbacks being named starters. I think we know about all of the rookie quarterbacks now as far as what their roles are going to be, whether it's backup or injured out for the season outside of Drake May. They haven't said for sure there yet. But other than that, it seems like they've made all the decisions across the league with the rookie starters. We'll get to that. Smoking Joe Patrick is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Our final preseason conversation with him as the final preseason game is tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game between the Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then it'll still be 2 weeks before the first regular season game, but it'll be leading up to the regular season game. So preseason will be over, and we will be turning our focus to the Falcons and the Steelers in week one.
So I guess obviously Bryce Harper was asked about it. No, I didn't see it. I didn't care. I don't care. I could care less. I already did it.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's a bunch of lies from Bryce Harper, which is fine. Probably the right thing to say and do. But yeah, no, he'll tell you tonight whether or not he saw it and whether or not he cares.
Right.
Because if Bryce Harper parks one tonight, which I anticipate him doing, he's going to look at Orlando Arcia and
the camera's going to zoom in.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is I'm with you. Like I was watching the game last night too, and I didn't really pick up on it when it happened. And then everyone started talking about it on social media and all that. And then it was like their main focus on the highlight package they did on SportsCenter this morning about the Braves game. They went back to all the Attaboy Harper and all that stuff. I was like, huh, all right,
okay,
good. I'm glad people are still talking about this.
Rev it up,
because yeah, he did not handle that situation correctly in the playoffs last year, And I guess he decided he was going to handle it now. And I don't know. Better late than never, I suppose. Revenge is a dish best served cold, Randy.
Why is that?
That's what they say.
Why?
I don't know. I like hot revenge.
I like hot revenge.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Piping hot revenge.
Yeah, if it ain't a beer, I don't like too many cold things. Sushi, maybe?
Ice cream.
I don't need ice cream.
Popsicles.
I don't need popsicles.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's water.
Okay. I did say eat, but yeah, water.
Is that a reference to body temperature, you think? Revenge the best way if you off somebody or something?
No, it's a reference to, like, patience. Wait.
Oh.
It'll be sweeter if you wait and get revenge on them.
And then it's cold if you wait?
Later on. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's what it means. I think revenge is a dish best served cold means, like, you bide your time and wait. Because if you don't, you know, sometimes if you're reactionary, the revenge isn't right. But if you wait later and later, like a game two of a random mid-August series the next season, a game that you lost anyway, and you're six games behind them in the standings, and then you exact your revenge, that's really when you want to do it, like Orlando Arcia did. It really has more oomph than if he would have done it in the playoffs last year,
you know?
It's really the right way to handle it.
You remember this whole Olympic thing where everybody was like mad at Noah Lyles because what he said. Is everybody going to be mad at this flag football quarterback that said he's better than Pat Mahomes?
I think people for the moment are.
You got the audio? Okay.
The people for the moment have decided they're mad at this guy.
Okay, well, make sure you play the back. I just saw the clip again. I was like, huh?
Yeah, so there's a flag football league or something like that, which I didn't even know that there was
a U.S. national flag football team.
I know
that.
Well, I know, because they're going to be in the Olympics in 28.
But I had no idea that was even a thing.
I don't know who the guys are, obviously. Well, but yeah, the guy who's their quarterback said he thinks he's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, at flag football.
Oh.
At flag football. He did say, flag football.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, is everybody going to be mad at him now? I don't know.
This has been going on for like a week.
Oh, it has?
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think Patrick Mahomes responded to it on Twitter, which is probably giving it a little bit more oxygen than it needs.
Mm-hmm.
We say this all the time about stuff like this. Like, you don't have to care about stuff that these people say. You know what I mean? Like, this clearly he's not.
Yeah.
Right? Clearly he's not.
We've never seen Pat Mahomes play flag
and
football.
And then people will say stuff like that, and then it's like, for the sake of argument or whatever, and it's like, no, man. No, it isn't. If Patrick Mahomes played flag football, he'd be the best at that, too.
Especially at the tender age of 35.
Is that how old he is? Yeah. That's how old the quarterback is?
That's how he's experienced. The hell out of here, man.
Yeah, no, again, I mean, your question is your question is valid, Randy. Is everyone going to be mad? Not everyone.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah,
like, I don't care what he says, because I never heard of him before.
I didn't know who Noah Lyles was.
Here's a good rule. If the first time you ever hear of someone is when they say something like this, then you don't have to care.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You probably didn't even know they existed.
You didn't. You never heard of the guy. The only reason you heard of this guy is because he said this thing. And he probably only said it so then you would hear of him.
No.
So you're...
No, he meant that, Andy.
Oh, yeah. No, he believes that in his soul.
No, he meant that.
Which, you know what? Good. You're supposed to.
Yeah,
if you're a competitor, you're supposed to believe you're really good at it and all that kind of stuff. Whatever.
He meant that.
Here's Kirby Smart. Let's get into a couple different college football conversations as we are now 48 hours and 13 minutes away from week zero. Georgia Tech and Florida State in Dublin, noon on Saturday, right around the corner. We'll spend more time talking about that tomorrow for sure. But here's Kirby Smart after the most recent scrimmage that his team had over the weekend, meeting with the media yesterday, talking about if he thinks they're ready coming out of camp.
We finished up scrimmage two Saturday, and players had Sunday and Monday off. And it's a big recovery time for us. We kind of finished what we consider to be training camp on Saturday afternoon, and we are still working on us and focusing on us and getting better. We're going to work on opponents for a couple days before we dive into Clemson later this week.
Well, I mean, when off season? As Kirby said, they have ever been ready.
Never.
Okay.
He never said it.
Not one time has he ever said.
He's never come out and said, you know what?
Yeah, we're ready.
Finally had a good camp.
Yeah. And
all my years of coaching, we've never done it. We finally did it. Yeah. I believe in this.
And the thing about it is these last couple of days, you know, they're going to still, as he said, work on themselves. And then Monday, it's all about Clemson. You know, and so it's just going to be a regular work week. And we talk about this every offseason since Kirby has been at Georgia. Who's going to play in the first game? Because they beat the crap out of each other. Or something like that. So that's going to be that's my main focus is who the hell is going to be there on the field for Clemson as far as, you know, injuries. Who's going to be out a week or so?
Yeah.
Who's going to miss this game? I guess Chip said something to him at the Chip Tower said, asked him about who's going to play and who wasn't going to play. I'm just trying to figure out what was wrong with that. Is he going to be suspended?
Running back?
Yeah. I just didn't. I mean,
yeah, they haven't announced
yet.
Yeah,
people can tag it. Randy, what do you think about this? Well, Chip can't ask that?
Seems like a pretty fair question. Yeah, because we haven't really.
Yeah.
We still don't really know whether
like
or not.
It seems like a pretty fair question to me.
What the discipline is going to be. Yeah. And, you know, the starting running back in the first game of the season seems like a, you know.
But I love how Kirby handled it. We haven't decided yet. Chip. I love that.
Oh, yeah, no.
I love the Chip
there
part.
There are certain members of the media that he enjoys not answering their questions more.
Chip.
And that's certainly one of them. That's a fair question about suspension. It's also a fair question about injury because Warren Brinson has been banged up throughout camp. Xavier McLeod as well. Those are guys that are on that interior, the defensive line that you're really counting on to be contributors this year. And you just don't know. The same thing with the starting center. Obviously trying to replace Van Pran. Jared Wilson's been hurt throughout some of the summer as well.
Right.
So we probably won't know until they come on the field on Clemson because they don't have to tell us before they go out there yet. At some point, they might have to give us those injury reports that the SEC is kicking around, but that's not a rule yet, so we don't have to do that yet. One thing, I heard Brandon Adams talking about this yesterday on his podcast, just about, like, you know, you're assessing different position groups and some of the rumors and the hype that surround the team leading into the season. I feel like most years, there's been a pretty good... You get a pretty good idea of where the hype is at. Mm-hmm. Remember when Brock Bowers, we didn't really know who he was yet, but there was some of that hype.
In the summertime.
People were talking like, I don't know, man, this freshman from California, not sure he looks really, really good.
Right.
We were like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, 3 years later, he becomes him. I mean, there's been plenty of conversation coming out about the running back group, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Etienne being one of them. Both Robinson. I know Roderick Robinson's banged up, but Branson Robinson. And then the freshman Frazier. Like, there's a lot of conversation about that. Oscar Delp, you hear about him and him taking over for Brock and all of that. BA brought this up, and I think it's true. And I don't know what it means, but I think it's an interesting point, especially for a guy that follows this as closely as anybody does, like him. Haven't really heard much about the receivers.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
like not.
I agree.
Not anything positive, at least.
Right.
And I feel like there's a real opportunity for some of these guys with what they lost in the receiving room, with how good Carson Beck is and how much they want to throw the football. Like, so these guys have, I mean, Arian Smith has an opportunity to have a huge year. Dominic Lovell has a chance to have a huge year.
Arian Smith's going to be up. He's got to catch the damn ball.
Dylan Bell has an opportunity to have a huge year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure one or more of them will. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit curious that there hasn't been any of that background hype about any of these guys.
They're coming off of a way, you can list Brock as a tight end, but when you talk receiving anything, you talk about Brock, you talk about Ladd.
Yep.
And now you're in a situation where you have guys. Dylan Bell's made plenty of plays for Georgia.
Sure. Dominic Lovett was the second leading receiver last year.
Lovett, and that's what
he
I'm saying.
He only had two less catches than Brock. Now, Brock missed a bunch of games, but he only had two less catches than Brock.
And so you look at
Brock.
That right there. I mean, you look at some of the freshmen, some of the guys who got a little bit of experience last year but didn't play a lot. I mean, these guys are, you know, they're good players that just didn't get their time to shine. Now, this is their time to shine because who's not here and the opportunity, and especially how much Bobo and Kirby plays a lot of these receivers, you know, it's going to be one of those things where you got to get in where you fit in. Just like you talked about where Brock was, he started early. You know what I mean? It wasn't one of them things where, I mean, that first Clemson game, he's catching Y options. They're like,
that was week one of his freshman year.
Yeah. So who's going to be that guy? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know who the veterans are on this football team, but who are going to be some of the guys? And to your point about you're not hearing about that position group, but I'm with you. I've not heard or talked about it at all.
Yeah.
But do we do that because we're comfortable with it, or we just don't know the names in it? Because we know Dylan Bell and we know Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be those guys? Because Brock Bowers is one of the single most dominant players I've ever seen offensively. One of the best I've ever seen in any sport, you know, any level. He was just that dominant at Georgia. You don't have that. You got some good players, but he's generational. Who's going to be the next? I don't know if they have him on the roster or whatever, but you don't need to be generational to be good.
Right. No, absolutely. You could just have like a solid cast of characters with a really good quarterback and a really good offensive line and a really good run game, and that can serve you well. I also think part of it is what you're talking about there. It's like a lot of teams across the country have these wide receivers that are anticipated to be first round draft picks.
They don't have
a Luther Burden.
They don't have Ohio State.
They don't have a Buka. They don't have the McMillan kid from Arizona.
Yes.
Like there's guys that are like that, and they don't have one of those guys on this roster. Now, that doesn't mean that Arian Smith can't catch 8 touchdowns this year and have an incredible season.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of passes to be caught with how good the quarterback play is going to be. But yeah, it's kind of curious coming out of camp where you always kind of get these little hints of hype. And I haven't really heard anything about the wide receiver.
It's been solid.
Yeah, just solid.
Like just a solid player. But solid. But the thing is that you got to have somebody of that room go above and beyond, though.
Yeah, somebody has to take that next step. And maybe it's one of these young guys who are just not that familiar with it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. A.J. Terrell was already rich. Now he's very, very rich. Very, very rich. We'll tell you exactly how much coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.